This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. It is 7:09 and we're now going to be moving on to our story this hour, which is about how an unsynchronized vaccine distribution worldwide will affect economies, livelihoods, and I guess the overall rate of recovery globally.
Now, this comes back to a lot to do with what we've learned, I think, in the last 1 year, the fact that we're incredibly connected. And a study that the WHO released just today, actually, found that advanced economies will actually face a significant hit to their own economic recovery from the pandemic unless they help developing countries speed up their vaccination programs. So, I mean, to put that into really simple terms, it basically means that if some of us are not okay, all of us won't be okay.
So, I mean, it's a lot of money, right? $2.4 trillion. That's the amount of output losses that they are set to face because of disruptions to global trade and supply chains. Because, like you said, completely connected. Nobody operates in a bubble anymore. It's just not possible. And we have also, I think this is kind of a reaction to the sort of vaccine nationalism that we've been seeing emerge slowly but surely. We are seeing the relationships that began last year shift around, right? Because there was a little bit of a global kita jaga kita last year. People were sharing information. The scientific community was having sort of this open race towards trying to get that vaccine going. But we also saw a lot of research, a lot of information being shared across. But now that the vaccines are out there, you know, a lot of wealthier countries, so we're thinking here of the US, UK, the European Union, have laid claim to more than half the doses of vaccines that will come through by the end of this year. And that is with enough doses in reserve to immunize their own population multiple times over. An interesting point when you are also seeing the failure in vaccine rollout in the United States, with some vaccines reportedly being thrown away at the end of the day simply because the distribution of it is so uneven.
Now, just to precisely deal with this idea of vaccine inequality, the COVAX facility was set up last year by the WHO and together with Gavi and the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. And the idea is to secure 1 billion doses of vaccine for 92 poorer countries. A billion other doses will go to middle or high income countries. But the COVAX facility has struggled to mobilize support from the rich nations and currently face a shortfall of $27 billion to meet those goals.
So I wish that we didn't have to make the economic argument, right, as to why it's important that we all have access to the vaccines, because it shouldn't be that, oh, we need you to manufacture whatever it is that we need you for, ergo, you deserve the vaccine. Like that's not necessarily a system that I think we should be operating in. We should want everybody to have the vaccine so that collectively we can be safe. But if you need to make that argument, then I think the economic argument is a very compelling one, because who wants to be in this cycle? Even 1 year in, everybody is absolutely exhausted by this cycle of opening, closing, opening, closing. Earlier in the show, we were discussing the possibility of a full economic shutdown because of this very thing, because we keep seeing these spikes. So the idea of seeing that worldwide because of a necessary flow of manufacturing and business, it's just very troubling. So we're going to be talking after this about how, or continuing our conversation about how vaccine inequality or inequality in vaccine distribution can affect everybody, even the richer countries. If you would like to share any thoughts you have on this, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Lim Chee Han. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're talking today about unequal and uneven vaccine distributions around the world and how that might impact the richer countries that have laid claim to more than half the doses of vaccines that will be coming through by the end of this year. If you would like to weigh in on, if you have thoughts on this, Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So now on the line with us is Dr. Lim Chee Han, Senior Researcher at Third World Network and co-founder of Agora Society. Chee Han, thank you for speaking with us.
Hi, good evening, everyone. BFM listeners.
So, from an economic standpoint, why is it important that all countries in the world get vaccinated and, I suppose, at a reasonably even pace?
In order for the global economy to function at full capacity, I think it has to take care of the dimension of the global demand and supply of goods and services. So, for the production of goods and provision services, the economic output in many parts of the world still requires, for example, labor and capital inputs. So before talking about the total productivity factor, one should pay more concern about the health of labor, our workers. So in a world without vaccine, as we know by the end of last year, 2020, when the pandemic was ravaging and lost control, borders were closed and actually are still closed today. Many areas were under lockdown. Many workers were forced to stay home due to quarantine order or at hospital or quarantine centers due to COVID-19. So there were many people went unemployed due to the pandemic-induced economic downturn. So from the economic point of view, it's bad because the labor force is not utilized at full capacity. The productivity suffers. Economic efficiency is very obvious and is wasteful. Also, we know that the prevalent lockdown policy would also suppress the public demand for more goods and services. And this, in turn, sends a negative feedback loop to the global and local economy. In such a gloomy economic climate, investment for certain sectors would go slow or significantly reduce. Just the capital inputs also would be affected. We know that the vaccine is the game changer that most people actually eagerly look forward to receive. So in the understanding that it will effectively and significantly prevent the spread of viral infection for the herd immunity to be achieved. It's still a good assumption currently because no one knows if the current crop of vaccines would produce the efficacy of giving us a long-term protection. Since the economy is very dynamic and more than ever, the business actually want the borders to be reopened for free movement of people and goods. If many parts of the world are still not vaccinated, it would be unlikely that the world can go business as usual. Even the vaccinated person have to be extra cautious because the vaccine protective effect is not 100%.
Chee Han, you know, this is, as you're describing it, it's exactly the sense of how connected our global economy is, right? Could you break down for us how it impacts the wealthier nations when poorer nations aren't given the same access to vaccines?
If the developed countries are still bogged down by the pandemic at an uncontrollable rate, majority of the population would be either sick or quarantined. Economy got badly hit, people go unemployed. And why do we expect the people in this part of the world will still go on buying goods as usual from the developed countries? Surely the global aggregate demands for certain goods would be affected because the developing world is actually more populated than the advanced country. What about the output of raw materials, the intermediate goods and products that are badly required by the developed countries, if few people are able to work on those? So those production lines and value chain in the developed countries would also face disruption. Even if they don't, they might have a risk because due to the uncertainties about the pandemic situation in the particular countries.
So it is estimated that a delay in getting the pandemic under control could lower our global economic output by $4.4 trillion, which is such a tremendously huge amount of money that the mind boggles. So what does this really translate to in practical terms?
USD 4.4 trillion is simply an astronomical number. Ordinary folks probably can't get their heads around it. But if we put it in percentage, it means that 5.7% drops of annual global output compared to the level before the pandemic. Mind you, this is not the worst case scenario projection. In short, this actually means further global economic recession. We just now have discussed about how interconnected and dynamic is the global economy. Yes, a significant reduction of the global output is the big picture, but we need to scrutinize the effects down to the level of a local economic sector and how this phenomenon can snowball into massive social economic problems in particular locality. where the main economic activities are severely affected. We should understand the pandemic effect hits some sector at different magnitude and impact.
Now, getting back to this idea of everyone needing to have access to vaccines, how important is the question of timing? Does everyone have to be vaccinated at more or less the same time?
Oh, when it comes to fighting pandemic, timing is at premium. The goal is to achieve herd immunity as soon as possible. Many countries actually give a timeline of 1 to 2 years if they are fortunate enough to get hold of the vaccine orders. Our Malaysian government gives a timeline of 1.5 years, which I think is sensible enough, but the challenges are huge. Given that we have about 33 million of population, it's practically impossible to vaccinate everyone at more or less the same time. In my understanding, the government had already set out a plan to vaccinate the population in 3 stages. The first priority is given to those most vulnerable and risky populations, such as the frontliners, elderly, patients with comorbidity, then come down the priority according to the risk level. This is not the vaccine delivery challenge only. We need to talk more about the global challenge of vaccine production, procurement, and logistics too.
So we do see wealthier countries having much better access to the vaccines, in a sense also leading to a degree, some amount of hoarding. Is there a way to fundamentally get them to share?
Well, according to the Duke University's Global Health Institute, a small group of rich countries comprising just 16% of the world population have already locked up 60% of the global vaccine supplies. We know that the COVAX facility led by Gavi, CEPI and WHO promised to deliver 2 billion doses for the 20% population from the 92 low-income countries by the end of this year. So far, only 5 vaccine producers show commitment. One of them is Pfizer. They agreed to provide only up to 40 million doses. This is really far short of the target. Personally, I think that there should be interventions from the world leaders and authorities such as UN and WHO to ensure the vaccines, as well as other necessities such as medical products, equipment, being shared equitably and efficiently. I think the time is now.
Now, if we look at economic sectors, right, which sectors are likely to be most affected by the absence of a vaccine?
Well, it goes without saying, I think the tourism-related sector is dying. And also, events-oriented economic activities, especially those which involve mass gathering of people, for example, exhibition, concert, football game, even cinema. Under SOP, they would be only at best operating at subpar maximum capacity.
And just to get back to that question of tourism or travel, right? Will we even be able to travel again if half the world isn't yet vaccinated?
Have you ever heard about a thing called Green Bubble Travel Zone?
Yes.
Yeah, that's when both sides of the countries got the pandemic under control within their border. Then the bilateral cross-border movement could be made possible. Vaccination would likely to help to achieve the desired effect of controlling the disease transmission. But even without that, some countries such as Taiwan and Vietnam can show that they could handle the pandemic very well. Yes, I think we will be able to travel again one day on the aforementioned conditions. But perhaps, I guess we still have to observe the SOP wherever we go. The world is still not safe until all is safe.
So in closing then, Chihan, I mean, does the pandemic point to a place where globally we need to have our health systems more in sync? And what would that process look like?
Well, actually, the design of a health system could vary from country to country, and actually would likely to stay so, I think, due to the historical path dependence factors for respective countries. Actually, it's very complicated to ask the health system to think. The setup is probably very much embedded to the social and culture of a particular country. Take example, NHS in the UK. So I would rather say that information and knowledge sharing, resources sharing, or more cooperation will be more tangible for many countries to come together, especially when facing global pandemic health threat right now.
Chihan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Dr. Lim Chee Han, senior researcher at Third World Network and co-founder of Agora Society, speaking to us about the uneven distribution of vaccines that we're seeing worldwide and the impact that we might see in economies and public health systems globally should we not coordinate in some way. And I think that harks back. Please let us know. I mean, do you think that we need to address this? How do you think it would work? I don't know. I just think that it's so important that we manage this. Like we said earlier, we're moving forward, right, in terms of how we're trying to get a handle on COVID-19. The problems keep shifting. And first, the existence of the vaccine was a question. And now that it is in existence, it's a question of how we're going to get everybody vaccinated.
It's a question of getting people to understand that we are more than our borders, really. We are more than our national interests. And that's always been incredibly difficult. But I think there's also no better time than now for governments to start working together. It's obviously, it's not up to you or me to say, right? But these stories frustrate me so much.
Yeah, I feel like the comparison here actually for me personally is climate change. You know, it really feels as if wealthier nations have a lot more to answer for in this regard. And very often it is the countries who are in the category of developing, right, who are looking at the situation and saying, no, look, can you please listen? Because this impacts us all. And the richer countries going, no, just develop less. You know, this isn't an issue for me. Why is it an issue for you? So anyway, I'm hoping that we do resolve this and that we see something come off this, because this inequity is an issue. Let us know. I mean, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.